The Scope is filmed before a live studio audience.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show with me, Tony Partington. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
the man behind the voice pays us a visit, another reality show is evaluated, and Adam discovers his new place is infested with deadly stingrays.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Greetings, Scope faithful. This is episode 12. Yes, we've been doing this for 6 months. It's very, very exciting. And speaking of 6 months, we've got a special guest in studio. And yes, it's taken us 6 months to get him in. It's our one and only announcer, the man who shapes this whole setup. It's Tony Partington. Thank you, Tony, for stopping in.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed.
It is our pleasure, too. Not only is Tony in studio, but we also have the regulars. We'll start off to the man on the left. It's Adam, looking very weary and tired today. Hello, Adam.
I'm very weary and tired.
Very weary. And we've got the guy pushing all the sound effects buttons. That's Jared. Thank you, Jared.
I'm mad as hell.
And you're not going to take it anymore?
I'm mad as hell. I'm very sad with the state of popular music.
Well, we'll have to get into that a little later.
I guess so.
And I would be remiss if I didn't introduce myself. I'm Shane, and I'm the person that people have hated the last few shows because I've done such a terrible job. And because of that, I think we're going to focus totally on our other two hosts of the show this week. Jared and Adam have a lot of special news, a lot of great things happening, and I cannot wait to talk to them about it. So.
Wow, way to sell it.
but before I get into that, I want to tell all of our fans and all our listeners out there that I really feel like I've let them down. As you all know, this week in Minneapolis, actually right now, they're doing American Idol tryouts right down Target Center, literally blocks away from where I work. And it was my big idea along with that. And we were going to go down there and get some interviews just like we've done in previous comic conventions and science fiction conventions and all that thing. And we went down there early, actually not even early, probably midday on Wednesday afternoon, Adam and myself and a few other people from work, and we're expecting long lines of teenagers, 16-year-olds, belting out Mariah Carey songs, Whitney Houston, old Motown hits, and we get down there, and what do we see, Adam?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Literally, not even trash?
Not
bums? Nothing.
Not even...
The actual Target Center has been removed from the planet?
It was a giant hole there.
Maybe I took it too far.
There was even a picture on Star Tribune's website earlier in the day about the long lines and how they were wrapping around the Target Center. And we went there expecting at least a few hundred people left, you know, if not, you know, all the way wrapped around the stadium.
We get there, we see a few metal barriers, tumbleweeds, and...
And competitors. Scope show competitors.
Actually, we saw another a tandem down there that had a mic set up, and they had camera and all the stuff. And Adam, by the way, that was the Star and Tribune. After checking my sources, it was the Star and Tribune. So
we were competing with the Star Tribune?
So a legitimate news source and us, you know, our five viewers and our listeners, and then the Star and Tribune's thousands and thousands of people checking their website every day. So sorry, guys. Total disappointment. Total complete lack of coordination and lack of guts.
I think you gotta give us credit for trying.
Yeah, maybe I should have tried out for it and snuck in there that way.
Oh, no.
But I think that would have been a disaster.
Put a wire on you. Get the whole thing.
So that's all I'm talking about myself for this introductory segment of the show.
Can we get the cheer sound effect?
Sure.
There we go. Both Adam and Jared have huge, big news. And Tony, you can chime in any time. You don't need to sit and be quiet.
Well, if you had participated,
yes.
All I can say is I would have been in the crowd, and I would have said, you would have heard me say, you go, girl.
Thank you. I think I probably would have sang a Wham song if I would have had the choice. You know, Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
Excellent.
Or Go-Go's. Anything with the word go in it, but that's it.
Okay, go.
Okay, go. Adam,
fair enough.
Two things happening with you this week. Last week, you went to the Minnesota State Fair for the first time.
I did.
And usually, we talk about everything before the show. This is not the case. So, you were going expecting to see hillbillies, guys with hay coming out of their overalls, yes, and people without shoes.
Right.
What did you find?
I did see one person without shoes, and it was not a baby either. It was an adult. Otherwise, not the level of depravity or low income level, I guess, that I was,
wow,
looking for.
Not hot.
Right, you're going right at it.
But it was kind of fun. I saw a pig being born.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't see that very often. we went to the cow, what's it called, livestock,
sure,
thing. It's a giant warehousey barn with cows. And I saw one pee.
Wow.
Right outside of it, I thought it was wrong. There's like a giant like leather expo shop, like right outside of where the cows are.
They're just
are,
showing so a logical progression.
Yeah.
I thought that was really mean.
You can see them born, and then they grow up before your eyes, and then they're turned into food and leather.
I know.
And what animal manure scent was most appealing to you?
I was going
to
say odoriferous.
Yes.
It's, you know,
odoriferous.
Only...
Class it up already.
It's going to be tight, yo.
It didn't smell that bad. Like, I expected the whole fair to stink, but, I mean, other than...
They have the cows eat flowers ahead of time.
Right. I mean, obviously it stunk. It smelled like...
poop?
A zoo in there. No, it didn't. I mean, it smelled like, you know, your
what
normal...
What you didn't think it would.
Hay, oh, yeah, kind of stinky, sweaty hay smell.
Oh, yeah.
Earthy.
And I didn't really eat any kind of super weird stuff. I had fried pickles, which were really good.
Oh, you like those?
I like pickles, so I knew that pickles plus fried would equal good, and it did.
That's a very strange
formula. Was there a stick involved?
No. Okay. See, I thought it would be like, you know, a big pickle on a stick fried, but it was just like sliced up. So like, you know, little pickle slices.
It's kind of like if you go to McDonald's and you get a hamburger, and you take the pickles off the hamburger, they're kind of warm, and then you put like a crunchy battering around them. Batter around them. That's kind of what I thought they were like.
Yeah, they were good.
I don't think I'd like that.
Yeah, I wasn't.
I don't like hot pickles.
Impressed.
I don't know. Something don't very know.
And that's why you're
it.
A real man.
Excuse me. But yeah, I mean, overall, not as weird as I thought it would be. I think the day we went might have been a bad day to find that. So I think maybe I will go the first weekend next year to get a better feel for the weirdness that is the state fair.
That's when I went, and it is, you see all sorts. But really, the fair, I think the fair's kind of turned into something where people are going there to eat. I mean, it's not quite as agriculturally
and
based.
And jerk around on the water rides.
Exactly. Tip over things and try to kill themselves. So,
were you impressed with the size of our Minnesota State Fair?
Well, I don't have anything to compare it against. I've gone to one county fair before in my life. But yeah, it was, I mean, it's gigantic. We didn't even get out to the Midway. I mean, we just stayed in the...
See, if you had gone there, that's where you start seeing the wondrous people.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true.
Very
had
strange.
We had more time.
Yeah, the teethless carnies and that sort of thing.
You know.
Teethless, huh?
They do.
I have nothing bad to say about the state or the state fair.
And Tony, do you go to the fair every year? Is that a big thing for you? You've lived in Minnesota for
quite a long time. I actually grew up here, and I now make it a point to never go to the state
fair.
There
you go. You've had your fill.
You're glib.
Yes. Fair enough. So
something's wrong. I was the optimistic and upbeat one.
Yeah, what is going on here? It's bizarro scope today.
Well, you know, you got to switch it up.
Well, guys, not only did Adam go to the fair this week, but he also had an interesting experience moving. And I've heard part of the story, but for all the people that don't know you, Adam, and try to avoid you, what happened this week? A disaster as usual or a smooth sailing?
I was hoping you were going to leave it open-ended so I could say I was going to the moon or something.
Wow, he's going to the moon?
They held the space shut, though, didn't they, because of weather?
Yeah.
I think Adam had something to do with that, too.
Yeah.
Bring us down.
Right. Do you want the whole story? I mean,
us a quick story.
Well, I was supposed to move with my friend Jess last...
Friend of the show.
Right. From the show.
We're standing over here in the corner.
There she is.
People.
I'd like to remind Jess. People who she is.
So we were supposed to move into this place in Northeast Minneapolis last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that didn't work out. Like, as we were, you know, we'd already moved, packed up all of our stuff, and put it on the truck, we were told that there was a bug problem. And not like the cool CIA bugs that we're all prone to. No. Yeah, those kind. But far worse and gross. So we couldn't. One of our good friends, Kelly, decided to let us stay at her empty loft in downtown St. Paul for the week, and I'm happy to say that today we were able to successfully move into our new place.
Woohoo!
hopefully
been thoroughly fumigated, has it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say hopefully cockroach free, but wow. You know, that's yet to be completely confirmed, yes or no.
There's a meowing cat in the studio, Jared.
And
I don't know what's going on.
And there's a cat here. Killing my story.
Not very good.
Fred likes to steal a thunder.
So you're a little weary. Hopefully you can kick that energy up in the...
No, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Look, I moved today. And then
that's the worst, too. Yes. That's so draining.
It is. So
at least it wasn't a scorcher out.
Tony, maybe you can motivate him to be a little bit more
I'm
peppy.
Trying. I have caffeine, but it's not really doing much for
me. Perhaps you need it in an IV form.
Yes.
Straight into the vein.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, Adam, congratulations.
If you could
on
have a
move.
Laugh track behind me, it would probably make things. See? Wait, and so, as I said to the guy, have you heard about this one? There we go.
Oh, boy. Okay, let's move on to Jared because.
Why?
You have a little bit of interesting news, too, which I had to get clearance from you to talk about this.
It's not really that earth shattering. Come on.
But I think it's huge. You know, you guys heard me talking about American Idol earlier. Jared is actually starting a band, or he's in a band, and he's going to be searching for a bassist to play live
and in studio.
Live. I don't know.
Well, I mean, okay, what it is
lay it out, Jared.
John, my former guitar player and comrade from the Nick Adams, mm-hmm. formerly known as Colburn. We've been playing on and off together for the last year or so. You know, we've recorded some stuff under the name the G Wildens, which is named for Gert Wilden, a probably less than famous German film composer that John is a big fan of.
Do you know who that is, Tony?
I know the name, yes.
Wow. Yeah.
I've heard some of his music, and it's pretty cool. Gert Wilden, that is. Anyway, John decided to approach me saying, hey, do you want to form a gig band? In other words, let's take the G Wildens. Let's learn some more songs. Let's add some players, and let's try to get some gigs. Apparently, he's made some connections through MySpace, and he feels confident that we can get some shows, so... That's what we're going to do. We're going to make a band. I think at first it's just going to be the two of us. It'll be all original material, and eventually we'll add a bass player for sure and possibly a second guitarist.
Okay, well, I have dibs on the second guitarist.
And I have dibs on the bass.
For what, a date?
To play.
Wasn't sure.
That would be exciting. Actually, I have an idea, Jared. I want to bounce it off of you.
Sure.
What about in-studio tryouts for your bass player?
It depends on how many suitors there are. I guess
there's me. I'll try out.
Do you know how to play bass?
Yeah.
Do you really?
Sure.
Seriously.
If you have a righty bass, I will.
There's one right over there. Four strings. Put it on. Let's see what you can do.
Right now? No, I can't do it right now.
Wow.
I'm weary.
Remember? Maybe next.
Come on.
Maybe next time.
Look at that. The gauntlet's thrown down and he fails.
I say we need.
This is what people think.
We need to plan a special.
I am a laugh riot.
We need to plan a special around finding you the next super bassist.
There you go.
And
it'll be the first Scope reality series.
Whether it's in the studio or maybe you can tell these people that are trying out for your band that you have to record them so we can judge them. But I think that you've got to make this happen.
It'd be rock star.
I will talk
Wilder.
To John and we'll try to come up with a format, and that could be fun.
I don't think this has ever been done before. I think we're
completely original.
Where's Mike Nesmith?
in the retirement home with... Home. Davy Jones and
Jared. I would like to say that I like the.
See, I knew that monkeys reference. Come on,
weird reference you guys have for your band name.
Yeah, John gets full credit for that. Okay. I never would have thought of it.
I thought that my references just to everything. Like I used to remember I would tell Shane about weird costume ideas I would have for Halloween, mm-hmm. and he would talk about how oddly high concept they were, and no one would get the reference except for like one or two people. So
what's one costume that you've wanted to do that you haven't done yet?
Jess and I have a really good idea to do Lynette Frohm, Squeaky. She tried to kill Ford, but failed. And I would do, what's his name that tried to kill Reagan? The one that did it for, what's her name?
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster, yeah. David Hinckley. And I would be Hinckley because we'd be the two failed assassins.
Not to be confused with David Brinkley.
Right.
Very classy. Right. Very classy idea. Well... I don't really know where to go with that. We were going to do a Worlds of Warcraft update, but we're running short on time. So
there is no update. I quit, remember?
Well, we wanted to kind of do a eulogy to the Worlds of Warcraft.
I quit. There we go.
Tony, do you know what Worlds of Warcraft is?
Yes.
It's just Worlds.
That's right. You did all the voiceovers for that. So.
Yes.
A World of Warcraft. Yeah. Right. Adam has quit. All of the online friends have let him down.
After laying down those intrepid tracks...
I know, it's very disappointing that That all the work you put into it, and Adam had to totally screw it up.
Like, wait, it's not very long.
There's an expansion coming out in November, so maybe I'll buy it.
Tony, we'll play this bit for you.
Just so you can hear
hear your own voice.
The Scope World of Warcraft update. Keep your harvest golem to yourself, Adam.
You hadn't played that one before.
That's a new one.
Another accurate.
That's why I haven't played at least.
It's another accurate enemy in the game.
But look at how happy that little nerd is over there. It's a big smile on his face. He's never happy about anything except World of Warcraft.
Can you imagine? I conjured all this up without ever knowing.
Yeah.
I mean, we've just now met.
Tony came in prepared.
Amazing.
He's smart. So anyway, let's move on to the rest of the show. In honor of Tony being in studio, we've allowed him to be able to do our intros and some special readings that normally I would handle. Normally I would tell you what's coming up on the Scope, but I think this time Tony's going to. So Tony, without further ado, please tell our loyal listeners what is coming up for the remainder of the show.
Well, after a meager 6 months, the boys at the Scope have finally decided to class it up a bit and have me, Tony Partington, the voice of this podcast, in studio. Hopefully Shane and the rest of the gang will be able to muster up a list of interview questions worthy of my time and talents.
Don't count on it.
Don't interrupt the
If they can't, well, don't fear. Don't fear, Scope faithful. I'll dole out an ass-whipping so devastating that these nerds will fill their pants with... like they're back in grade school and high school and college. You get the point. Mm. In addition to my interview... However, the Scope crew will probably do the same old crap they do every show. Read some pilfered news, review some nerdy movie or TV program, and bore you with some listener mail. So please, stick around for more of episode 12 of The Scope.
You've got questions. Tony's got answers. It's time for Ask Tony.
Dear Tony, I'm having trouble defeating both the Gnarlpine Augur and the Timberling Trampler in the Arathi Highlands. Can you give me any tactical advice? Signed, Super Druid in Denver.
Dear Super, I wish I could help you out, but I don't understand most of the words you typed. It seems to be some other language, maybe Portuguese or the long-forgotten Sanskrit. At any rate, write back in English next time and maybe I'll have an answer. Lousy foreigners. To you, Senor Druid, I say gracias. We appreciate your support. Please tell your only friend about the Scope.
If you would like me, Tony Partington, to impose my advice on you and set you on a path to glory, send your tales of woe and misery to asktony@thescopeshow.com. I promise not to be too destructive, but let's face it, the truth hurts. And it hurts some of you more than others. Now, back to the Scope.
Yes, indeed, this is the Scope, episode 12. You've heard us talking about it. It's a big event for us. The master of the microphone, Tony Partington, our announcer who makes the show so special week after week or show after show, is in studio, and he has allowed us to interview him, to talk about his fantastic career, crazy sidebars, anecdotes, all that jazz. So let's dig deep into the Scope interview.
Now it's time for the Scope exclusive interview. We ask the hard-hitting questions, even if you don't want us to.
It's a little strange to have Tony introing his own interview. It's very strange.
It's a Tony-packed show.
I know. Tony, it's all about you. Thank you, Tony, once again for being here. Your lovely wife also is sitting on the couch quietly. Jared, being the sexist pig that he is, will not give her a microphone. He said women don't have a place in radio. I don't understand it, but...
As if you took the words right out of my mouth.
Indeed. So people are wondering, who is Tony Partington? Let me give a quick, brief overview of your career. I went to the Tony Partington website, which we'll give that address later because it's very exciting. But
you seem shocked as if you didn't know it existed.
Tony's looking at me like, I've got
one. There's a website for me?
Yeah, you really do. Tony, not only being a great voiceover artist, has had a very successful career as a singer and actor. He's been in television, movies. Oh, I'll do that slower. He's been in television, movies, plays, operas, radio. It just goes on and on and on. You're a hero, Tony, to all of us here.
And I'm so frightened.
I know. And I really don't have a lot of questions to ask you, but I do. We'll just kind of let it free form and get into it. But I think I kind of want to start out by asking you, how did you get into this career of being an entertainer? I mean, where was the genesis of this? I mean, how did it start? Why did you submit yourself to such a tough lifestyle?
What a curious choice of words, genesis.
Thank you.
Because in a sense, it really was a genesis. It was sort of a creation of mm-hmm. my mother and father.
They really? Half of each.
They met egg,
well,
and it was
yes,
magic.
And they both of them were professional actors.
Mm-hmm.
They were on Broadway in a number of plays, and they made me. And so it was only logical that I follow in their footsteps. You know, you have your army brats and you have your theater brats.
So was this pressure by your family? I mean,
not at all.
Not at all. They,
not at
they
all.
Said, Tony, you're going to act and you're going to do it.
No. They and I knew from the beginning the downside to it.
Yeah.
Which in a way it was very, very good. But I dismissed that and chose ignorance instead and went into it.
So, I mean, growing up in Minnesota, I mean it's not the best place to be an actor. I mean, I guess in terms of theater, you can do all right, but I mean looking at your resume, a lot of things you're into, television, movies, all that stuff. Not so hot.
Right.
Right.
And just for the listener, just a quick background, the reason that I ended up in Minnesota was because both my folks had been on Broadway in a number of shows.
Mm-hmm.
And when Tyrone Guthrie started the Guthrie Theater, he asked my father to come on board and be the first production manager.
Oh, wow.
At that time, my father was stage managing a new musical on Broadway back in the 50s that they weren't sure was going to go very well, called My Fair Lady.
Oh, wow.
So after
never heard of it.
Five and a half years.
How'd that turn out?
After 5.5 years, which is a pretty good gig in that business. But then he got the call from Tyrone Guthrie, and we moved to Minnesota. And my dad was at the Guthrie for 6 years. So that was why I grew up here. But I did start the studies here, but most of my experience has been on the East Coast.
Oh, okay.
Because that's where the work is.
The snooty East Coast.
And Philadelphia is the snootiest.
Very, very true.
It's all the cheesesteak.
It is.
So I think if I were to get into acting, it probably would for the chicks. I mean, how does that work out? I mean,
for you, probably not very well.
Yeah, well, obviously. I mean, look at me. I'm disgusting.
But you said to answer honestly. But
you're done, Tony. You'll never work in this town again. See.
No.
That's
no.
what we call a callback.
Let me revise my answer.
Wild times. I mean, you must have.
Oh,
millions of stories that would get you in trouble with your lovely wife, but
she'll be
telling them anyway.
She didn't know me back
wow.
then. Yes, I do. I a couple of wonderful stories do come to mind. My my parents worked with a great British actor named Dennis King, and Dennis King created the role of the Vagabond King in Rudolph Frimmel's Vagabond King operetta. His son, Michael
King.
That's
one of your favorites, Adam.
I know.
Most people don't know that.
He's making notes.
I'm making notes about
he's
it right
making
now.
Notes.
Most of our audience are avid opera listeners.
And Adam's actually drawing pictures of Warcraft characters
and the
right
ones,
now.
And the ones that aren't are asleep.
My next character is going to be so sweet.
Anyway,
Sorry,
Tony.
Their first Broadway show together was an epic show called Lunatics and Lovers.
Hmm.
I'm sure you've heard of it.
Yeah, it's actually what I subtitle my marriage.
Wow.
Well,
digging the wife every time.
She
doesn't listen. Yeah.
In all events, the stars were Dennis King, the mm-hmm. grand man of the theater from England, and Buddy Hackett.
Oh.
Are you getting the picture?
Yeah.
Okay. So there are my parents, the neophyte actors, standing off stage, gazing on stage and watching the shenanigans going on. And Dennis King saunters up to them with his ascot on, and he looks at them and looks out on stage, and they're staring intently on stage, and he says, "Rex, Cleo, what are you doing?" And they said, "Oh, well, we're just observing, Mr. King. We're trying to just observe and learn."
Mm, take it all in.
Take it all in. And he says, "The only thing that you can learn from this piece of shit is timing. And I'm not on stage now."
Oh.
So
I get it.
I've kind of kept that as my my mantra. You know?
Absolutely.
And so that, yeah, that comes to mind. And it was very similar working with Robin Williams on Dead Poets Society.
Let's get into that.
Hey now.
Did you know that, Adam, that Tony worked with?
I did, because I saw it on your cheat sheet.
Right okay.
I think he is one of the most brilliant comedians, entertainers, talents of our time. Mm-hmm. I really do. But he is a unique individual in that, and I only played a very silent bit part.
You weren't one of the boys in that, were you? The young lads?
Well,
from a certain point of view, I suppose.
Actually, even how I got that part is another story. But anyway.
Hi-yo.
I was chosen to be the father of the fellow who sort of rats out the other guys, the mm-hmm. the redheaded fellow. And there were a couple of scenes in the chapel of, you know, stand and deliver, that sort of thing. And Robin is an interesting man. He walks into a crowd of people, and sometimes he'll just extemporaneously just go into a monologue. I mean, and a manic monologue. I mean, absolutely manic.
Like he's doing a stand-up routine.
It is a stand-up routine.
Okay.
But suddenly it's as if this fog just comes over him, and he's just a blank face, and he's very, very still.
Hmm.
And at that point,
cocaine kicks in.
At that point, right? Or the Thorazine.
Yeah.
At that point,
I was going to make that joke, but I thought it was in bad taste.
I'll make it. At that point, that particular point, I was standing there just observing. I'm good 15, 20 feet away.
Sure.
And suddenly there must have been two or three dozen of his handlers, as they were called,
mm-hmm.
who rushed and surrounded Robin and quickly turned on the crowd and said, "Don't talk to Robin. Don't talk to Robin."
And this is at the height of his popularity. I mean, he was right in that Good Morning Vietnam time.
Right.
Pre-Patch Adams, thank goodness.
1988.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had no real intention of talking
sure.
to him.
No.
So,
I mean, you can't approach the legendary mind who starred in RV.
Ouch.
I was going to say, or Popeye, but I think some people like that.
Popeye was funny.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, I mean...
But it was interesting.
So, would you consider a guy like that to be diva or a diva? Kind of, he's on stage or on camera... One way, but he gets off, and he's just a lunatic, or is it just he's so strange that he doesn't even fit into that type of category?
You know what? I don't think that it's necessarily a diva thing.
Yeah.
I think the mind is just wired so in such a way that when he's on, he's on. Jonathan Winters is very much like that.
Sure.
My father worked with Jonathan Winters, and he belonged to the Lambs Club, which is an old actors club in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very proper leather chairs, you know, smoking jackets.
Sure.
It's very, very you know, old. They wouldn't even let women join for years and years, right? So
anything like the Friars Club?
Very
similar
much,
type of thing like that?
Yeah,
happened.
Yeah.
That's a comedy type thing, the Friars Club, isn't it? That's why they do the roasts anyway.
Right.
Thank you.
Wasn't Jonathan Winters also on Mork and Mindy?
Yeah, he was okay. Murph.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't.
Yes, he
I didn't
grew
get
older.
Reference.
Yeah,
he grew older.
Yep,
he grew younger.
But my mother met my father at the Lambs Club to go out to dinner one night, and Jonathan Winters was in the lobby, and my father wanted to introduce my mother to him, and so as he started toward him, Jonathan Winters jumped out of his leather bound giant chair, turned it over, jumped behind it, and started firing.
Oh, really?
At my father.
And, really?
Yeah.
He turned over the chair and was behind it.
Yeah.
As if he was in battle.
Yeah.
And taking off the commies.
So when you ask where the mind's like Robin Williams, I don't think there's room for a devil or anything like that.
Sure, they just are what they are.
They are out there. Yep.
Well, I think that I'm happy to hear about Dead Poets Society, but for me, one thing stands out on your resume.
Tell me.
It is one of your television appearances from a famous TV show. Let's listen in, shall we? Adam, can you recognize the theme?
It's Unsolved Mysteries.
Very, very good.
The show that scared the crap out of me as a child.
Yeah. Still me does. Me too. This music was very, very frightening.
I'd prefer to watch Rescue 911.
Always a William Shatner fan.
Well, that's a happy story.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, you played a criminal?
Oh, no.
No, you were a good guy on...
I was Unsolved. A dead guy.
A dead guy. Please enlighten our audience with some crazy tale of... Hanging out with Robert Stack.
I wish I could.
Yeah, yeah.
But Bob did all of his shots in Hollywood.
Yeah, probably from his pool house, you know.
Probably.
Get a little fog machine there, do it at night, and that's it.
Just change into the trench coat.
There you go.
But and underneath he had the Speedos on, and just, he did his shot.
I'm not sure I want to hear about Robert Stack's Speedo.
Yeah.
Well, we'll leave that for another
Adam
time.
Adam seems interested, but...
I'm intent on finding out about this.
His eyes open wide.
Yes, I had the great good fortune to be cast as David Box, B-O-C-K-S, who unfortunately, appears to have been murdered by the government.
Uh-oh. So this is like
I heard it was a friendly fire incident involving Jonathan Winters.
Wow. He just made that up right now, everybody.
You don't know how funny that is until you learn how Dave died.
Oh, do tell.
Friendly fire. Yes, Dave worked at the Fernald smelting plant, okay? And they were the workers were told that all they did was melt metals.
Yeah.
Okay. In essence, what they were really doing was they were manufacturing uranium for nuclear weapons.
Oh, really?
Yes. And apparently there was a vapor leak, a steam leak, that this gentleman, Dave Box, knew about. He was going to blow the whistle. They found out about it and quickly dispatched him in the furnace.
Oh, my.
Yikes.
And so
remains ever found?
No,
probably not.
a couple of teeth,
bone fragments.
A couple of bone fragments, eyeglass frame. But this was a salt furnace where they fired the uranium ingots or whatever. So it was very, very hot. They had to wait 4 days for it to cool down before they could get everything out. Yeah, and. It's actually quite sad because I met the man's real daughter.
Oh, really?
And it has not been solved yet. The reason I know it's not been solved is because I still get residuals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
$12 here, $20 there.
Hey, beer money.
It's been shown over in Saudi Arabia.
Wow. Well, congratulations.
Yeah. So have there been any tips called in from
What did they say? It was a workplace accident that he fell into it? Or?
Yeah, they said he committed suicide. There was no indication of that. So that was thrilling because there was a scene where he is bound by the feet and then dropped into this furnace. Mm-hmm.
And did you have to do that for real?
Well, now here's the catch.
She looks surprisingly good.
Here's the catch. The same stuntman that did the and you guys must help me the Sylvester Stallone movie where he falls out of a plane and he falls through
Tango
all
and Cash.
False
probably not Tango and Cash.
False
Stop
the,
or my mom will
the,
shoot.
The trees.
False. A Rambo movie?
I don't know. Is it? I mean, where he finally catches himself on the branch of the trees? He falls through a bunch of pine trees?
No idea.
Okay.
Probably Rambo.
We'll say it's Rambo for Tango the story. We'll edit all the crap out. We'll just it was Rambo, Tony.
Oscar.
Okay. Anyway, the same fellow that did that stunt, awfully nice guy, J.T. Rockwell. He was brought in because what they wanted to do was do the drop of the mm-hmm. body and then have the body burst into flames.
Yikes. Oh, nice.
Okay. And he did two takes of that. And
you think he could only do one?
And he But it was amazing because, I mean, he had this harness on, yeah. And the pickup was up through the pant leg, so all the pressure, all the support was on the shoulders. In all events, long short of it is, they were going to do a long shot of him doing the drop and then do a close-up once his head was in the furnace so they couldn't recognize him as not being me. And they did this burn, and it was just – I couldn't believe it. It was amazing. And I said, how are you going to keep your hair from burning? And he said, well, first of all, I put this stuff on. And he said, well, I'm upside down. Flame burns up.
Mm.
Never thought about it. But I said to the director, if you'd like me to, I'd be more than happy to get in the harness and do the drop for you so you can do a close-up on that, and then you can break away for the
– Sure.
So – The guy said, "You're kidding."
Yeah,
I said, "Well, if he's willing to do it and be set on fire,
I'll do it."
Yeah,
Tony Partington doesn't shy away from danger.
Never mind this.
I have a future in podcasting. Damn it, put me on that harness.
and this J.T. Rockwell said, "Man, you're nuts." But he got me hooked up, and we did 18 takes.
Wow,
18 takes. Now they kept spraying me down with water, and I was all bruised, made up. And the director kept saying, "Now remember, Tony, you're supposed to look like you've just been beaten up. You're not feeling well. You're groggy, or you're not clear headed. You don't feel well. You could even vomit." I said, by the 18th take, I said, "I'm not acting."
Yeah, this is how I feel, dude.
By the way, J.T. Rockwell, best stuntman name ever.
Yeah,
that is pretty tough.
I think you're born to be a stuntman if that's your name.
Yeah.
I'll name him JT, stuntman.
He was very nice. He showed me all the tricks. I mean, awfully nice guy. So I enjoyed that more than anything about the show.
Getting to be a tough guy.
And one little sidebar, I did get my nice little Ford Bronco in the show. They needed an official truck that they could put lettering on, and mine was new enough, and they said, "Oh, that one will work great. Can we use it?"
Wow. Did you get money for that as well, having your vehicle in
the shop? No, the Bronx didn't get and it's not receiving residuals, or if it is, I don't know where it is. So,
well, you know, you're not the only person here that has a Unsolved Mysteries connection.
I was wondering if this was going to come up.
Okay.
There's another person in this room who has experience with that television show.
Fred can't speak.
And it's the cap. No. Jared, my notes tell me that you indeed have an Unsolved Mysteries connection.
I do.
Could you tie this package up?
It was, I don't remember, it was years ago, and I somehow managed to get thrown in with the extras on a shoot they were doing here locally about a bank robbery that happened, it was over in Eden Prairie. And, so I stood around all day waiting, as extras do, and finally at the end of the shoot, they said, "Okay, everyone else who hasn't been in a shot yet, crowd around. You guys are gonna come down the hill like you're the police are here and there's been a robbery, and you're gonna come in and see, ooh, what's going on." It was very exciting. They did a couple takes, and after 8 hours, that was the end of my shoot. And so, fast forward a few months, I get the little card in the mail that says, "Here's when your episode's going to air," and I wait patiently for the day to arrive.
Pop your popcorn.
Fire up the television, watch the episode. Cut completely out. Oh. That shots were not even in there. So
devastating.
I don't even remember Unsolved Mysteries doing bank robberies. Like, how boring is a bank robbery compared to a guy who was melting uranium in the government?
Well, it doesn't quite compare. I mean, really. Obviously not one of their higher-rated episodes, but...
The show was canceled right after that episode.
So there you go. That's my Unsolved Mysteries.
But Jared,
did
they feed you well?
You know, I don't recall there being any food at all.
Oh, my God.
If there was, they didn't tell us about it.
Yeah, the extras were just put in a little pen. They just sprinkle water on them from time to time, and that
was it. Oh, my God, that's right. This is Minnesota, a right-to-work state. You know, you have to be in a union state to get,
food.
Yeah.
So no food, no appearance, no residuals, no fame and fortune.
No nothing.
There you go. So here I am doing a podcast.
There you go. Yep. You two, I mean, Unsolved Mysteries have brought the two of you together.
In a sense, it really has.
It's really beautiful, actually. And Adam and I don't know what we're going to do.
We can bring back Rescue 911.
We are going for Rescue 911.
Shatner, baby.
Shatner. So, wow. Well, Tony, I hate to cut the interview short, but a new mandate here at the Scope is that we want to keep our shows tight. So
they can fit on one disc?
So we could fit on one disc.
Maybe we could just find out how Tony got involved with the show. I mean, we never did ask him
that. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's a fair question. We'll cover that. How did you get involved with the show? I know, but I'm going to pretend like I don't.
Well, when I had the great good fortune to work with your lovely wife, yeah. she approached me about it.
Oh, come on.
You denying that she approached?
Sex it up.
Yeah. Let's jazz it up a little bit.
She appeared in okay.
a
light.
Dark and stormy night.
Okay. Yes. And
there was lightning everywhere and unicorns. And the Pegasus rode in and there she was.
The rainbow.
Okay. Is that Tony?
We can't turn it into a crappy you, fantasy novel. That's not
you and Carrie, and you had brought your lovely little girl in. She was so sick, so ill.
Yes.
Literally on the footsteps.
Yeah.
And then the crawl appeared.
Yes. That's a science fiction reference, Tony.
No, that's fantasy.
Is it?
I would say Krull is fantasy.
Oh, whatever.
I know what the Krull
is. Do
you? Yeah, they used to sell
them. There was Kevin Sorbo. It was
crazy. In the 60s. They had hair coming out of here, and they had ugly faces and stuff.
I don't know what the
Krull. I don't know what that
is. Wow, this is going off way.
Wow, off the rails.
Oh, wait, that's Troll. Yeah. Troll, yeah. I'm sorry.
Off the rails.
Okay. No.
That was a gremlin.
And then we met.
Yeah, we did.
We met, and there was an instant.
There were strings and an rockets. Instant.
It was palpable.
I believe you grabbed my hind end that first time we met.
Ever so gently.
Yeah, that's how I like it.
It's a caring touch.
Ever so gently. No bruising.
Carrie said you had healing hands, and she wasn't lying.
Okay, well, then that's how it all started.
There we go, yeah.
Started from the bottom up.
Yeah.
I believe in working from the bottom up.
I think that classifies as a pun.
I think
and Adam is enraged.
That ends the segment.
It's segment over, yes. My wife talked to you at work and learned that you have this very interesting past and a lot of nooks and crannies to your working career, I guess, that we haven't really even got into. But you're a man of many trades or a jack of all trades.
And master of none.
Master of none. And I said, I got to have this guy on the show.
Ah, but your wife is a keen, keen eye
yes.
for talent. She was secretly, without my knowing it, even though I did know it, she was auditioning me.
Oh, I see.
Is that what room a patient? Yeah. Draw some blood. Do a urine dipstick.
Yeah.
She would be watching me for my style, my grace. My
first appearance of urine dipstick, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and uranium urine dipstick. Got it all.
So she said that. Only after that point did she approach you, probably. She said, okay.
Yeah.
I wanted to just get through the preliminary screenings first.
This guy's the real deal. Get him on the show. And here we are,
six months later. And there's so many fakes out there.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
I like thinking that Carrie cared enough about the show to put you through the ringer.
She actually said anything to get Shane out of the house. If I can contribute to that, I'm all for it. So
I believe that was
I need
the
my
seventh.
Me time.
Yep. She needs her me time. She's got to watch Laguna Beach. And with that fake laughter, I think we've kind of come to the end of the. I just said kind of. We've come to the end of the segment, if you will. Tony, thank you very much.
I thank you so much. Oh, thank you.
Will you stick around for the rest of the show?
I would be delighted to.
Good, because you have to, because we have all these things written for you. And we'll definitely have you back on the show. Maybe another 6 months, another year, 2 years, somewhere down the line.
No, I believe it says somewhere here.
Hollow promises.
Possibly, yes. Sometime in 2008, it says here
exactly.
on this sheet.
Well, we will make sure that you are not a stranger. How about that? So, everybody, this has been Tony Partington.
I thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony.
And
we'll be back with more right after this.
This is the Oprah Winfrey Celebrity Shout-Out of the Day.
Tina Turner!
That was the Oprah Winfrey Celebrity Shout-Out of the Day. You go, girl! It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it!
Well, I tried to find a song about Tony, but I failed miserably. So instead we have this. From the PodSafe Music Network, this is Monk with Think About Me.
Keep it locked and loaded on the scope.
Yeah. Shane and... Who are those other guys?
Under the scope. In keeping with our Tony heavy show, I'm going to let Tony do the honors and explain to all of our listeners out there what Under the Scope is. Tony, if you will.
Well, now it's time to go under the scope. You know, it's the part of the show where Adam stutters and stammers through pages and pages of copy that he's clearly never reviewed, while Jared plays the same four Tom Cruise sound effects, and Shane tries desperately to be funny and clever, and fails every time. First up, the news, or as I call it, the part of the show where the guys steal stories from other websites and try to pass them off as their own. Over to you, Adam.
I think I'm out.
I don't like the fact that when I make fun of Shane, Shane gets all crybaby about it. But when Shane makes fun of Shane and the rest of us, it's fine. Yeah.
Wow. Wow, Adam. What a baby.
Oh, yeah. I got no problem with it if you'd stop being such a pussy.
Well, hey, that's the way it goes.
Worst Jew ever. Wait, was that me?
That's
weird.
Story number one.
Right. Oh, hey, for the first week, I did not pick these. So when people complain about me or complain about the terrible stories, it's not my fault.
And I did not pick them either. Jared picked them. So it's
it was a team effort. Come on.
Okay.
It went like this. Shane, how about this story? Okay. What do you think about this one? Sure. How about this one? There we go. Three stories.
Perfect. Okay.
First story this week is entitled Extreme Makeover, Star Trek Edition. It actually has nothing to do with Extreme Makeover, the highly popular ABC reality show. It's actually just about the original Star Trek. All 79 original episodes are going back into syndication for the first time in 16 years in honor of the classic's 40th anniversary.
Very true.
What they're doing, though, it's...
Thank you. Very true.
Right. I needed you to agree with me. The AP story that I'm reading from was not proof enough.
By the way, today is the official 40th anniversary of Star Trek.
Yep.
Well, today
I,
being...
I did
not
where
the show.
The
not,
blogs are alive with yep. people remembering
I wore my Romulan...
The nerds are peeing themselves.
My Romulan mask.
Live long and prosper.
Exactly.
Tell that.
What's going to happen with these shows, Adam?
They're doing something... Thank you. I'm glad you asked, Shane. They're doing something a little different. They are doing a CGI makeover to kind of up the appeal to our generation. They're taking some of the special effects, lasers with the pew-pew-pews, and the spaceships, and updating them and updating the CGI.
And the Glavins.
What it reminds me, though, of is when they did this to the Transformers back... In the I guess late 90s when they did like the Energon cube that would like flash around the screen. They didn't actually change anything in those episodes. They just
added flashy graphics.
Yeah, like and a border around the screen half the show. It was kind of
right.
It just kind of reminds me of that. And I guess obviously it's similar to the Star Wars ones.
Yep.
So I'm sure people would decry these as destroying the show or whatever. But you know, it's a campy, terrible show to begin with. I don't know what... Why?
Tony, you don't think it's campy or terrible?
Well, part of the reason they're doing it... Go ahead, Tony.
Tony and I are going to fight.
I wasn't sure he was frozen for a second there, so I jumped
on frozen. He's straightening his papers.
There's not enough time.
Wow.
In my opinion, it's a terrible TV show.
Let's do
why?
It.
Why?
Oh, no. It's going to turn into an Earl Lucas debate.
This is great.
I never found them to be enjoyable. I mean, I was born in 1980. It's not like I was watching them in their heyday. I get that they were probably great. Well, I get that they were passable probably when they were first on air. But
he liked Knight Rider.
I wasn't. That was in syndication by the time I became. That's pretty terrible. Also, if you watch it today,
yeah, I didn't like that.
I don't know. It's just it wasn't. It never appealed to me. And I mean. As much of a nerd as I might be, I go back now and I realize I don't really like sci-fi TV shows or movies. You know, even Star Wars.
Okay,
like,
I guess I'll just submit one thought, if I may.
Of course, you're Tony Partington.
Oh, well.
Right. Submit away.
here's why I think it's one of the great television efforts. First of all, I think it was ahead of its time in a couple of respects. And this can be borne out, this whole, my theory of this is borne out very, very clearly to me by the fact that if you look at the first two Star Trek movies, the first movie, which Paramount was bound and determined to concentrate on the special effects, mm-hmm. special effects, that's what it's all about.
And that hot bald chick in the bathrobe?
Yeah. You know, special effects.
Not hot.
Okay. It bombed.
Mm-hmm.
Second movie, The Wrath of Khan. They brought back Ricardo Montalban to
could you say Ricardo Montalban with a little bit of an accent?
They brought back Ricardo Montalban.
Thank you.
And his
Dr. Smith.
Let's just put
and his fine Corinthian leather. but they brought him back to play Khan, and the formula that Gene Roddenberry came up with and what made that show work was not the special effects. It wasn't even, to me, it wasn't even the sci-fi thing.
It was green body paint on hot chicks.
Well, there was that too, but it was the oldest battle of all, the good against the evil, right against wrong, truth against untruth,
mm-hmm. the right to intersperse dramatic pauses in your
speech.
I would
like to point out Shane became a fancy black lady right there with his
you go girl.
This is absolutely not gay.
Anyway, there it is. Favorite Star Trek character? Let's go around the room. Jared?
I love the Tribbles.
Tony?
Jim Kirk. He's over the top.
Adam?
Is there a star that they crash into at some point? Because that would be the star.
And I'm sticking Jared? With bald chick with bathrobe.
That's Jared, I'm so glad that we haven't met until now.
Let's move on to the next story, Adam.
Before I would like to point out that some people considered ALF to be ahead of its time.
Does anyone have any opinions on these updates? I mean, we didn't even go in there. Shane, do you care?
For me, I don't really care all that much. I liked Star Trek The Next Generation. I wasn't a huge fan of the original, but you know, I was born in the early 70s, and my thing was Star Wars. So anything that wasn't Star Wars was inferior. So the early 60s Star Trek, actually it was early, like mid-60s Star Trek stuff, that it just looked fakey and cheesy to me. So I didn't really get into it, but I suppose I could probably appreciate it now. But not a favorite thing. So, I mean, I have to say good for them. As long as they keep the originals around, more power to them, I guess.
They probably won't be. The original versions will still be in syndication on cable channels, mm-hmm. from what I understand. You can only syndicate full seasons to cable, is something I learned in researching this.
Okay.
So these ones will be on, like, network stations.
But you can still get the complete DVD set.
Sure. Yep, those will be around. And eventually they'll release new DVD sets of these updated versions. I'm kind of reserving judgment until I see it.
Tony, any issues with this, or you think full ahead, Captain?
I don't think they should fool with them. I think they should leave it alone.
I really do think we've got to introduce Earl and Tony to each other at some point. I think you guys, Earl, a friend of the show, I think the two of you would get along quite well. Adam, you don't care.
About the show?
About the updates. Doesn't matter to you either way?
No, it's not going to make me want to watch it. Okay. It's just...
I would probably watch an episode to see what it looks like. I'd be curious to see what it looks like, so...
2 weeks.
2 weeks. They're coming at you. Adam, next story.
Next story is Sony has delayed the PlayStation 3 launch in Europe and other parts of the world, specifically the regions that use PAL, which I recently learned is phase-altering line.
Very nice.
System, video mm-hmm. system.
All the other regions that are inferior to the U.S.
Yes. Right. Well,
we are superior.
Still better than those CCAM users, though.
Yeah.
U.S. and Japan, well, actually North America and mm-hmm. Japan use... Right. NTSC.
As well as all of the countries we conquered.
Exactly.
Forced them to use that format.
They have pushed the launch back from November in those regions all the way back to March. So they'll be missing Christmas. I don't know. I guess I'm assuming Christmas is big in Europe and
I've
Russia
heard there's some Christians there.
It is huge in Europe.
Okay.
It is big in Japan.
Well, they're not pushing Japan back.
I'm just kind of giving an overall Christmas because it's one of those holidays that's like an Americanized thing. So it's just one of those things that's mimicked.
Right. Well, that's what I was wondering. Like, yep. Is it big here? Is it like, you know, as a big shopping day here, but maybe it's not as big?
Yeah.
So other regions affected, Russia, the Middle East. I'm assuming not a big shopping
The Middle East will never get it as far as I'm concerned. Keep the PlayStation 3 away from
them. Africa.
Wow, very controversial.
And Australasia, which I'm assuming is just Australia and New Zealand. I don't know why it gets its own term.
I think they tend to include a lot of the Polynesian islands, all the South Pacific stuff.
Well,
too,
fine then. They're pushing it back specifically for lack of parts that are used in the PAL systems. Kind of seems odd to me, though. I don't hear huge delays from, you know, other HD PAL systems. So it's like, if that's really their excuse and kind of...
The blue really laser diode.
Yeah. Yep, the laser for the Blu-ray drive, and I've also heard that the yields on the processor are extremely poor.
Well, I agree. I've heard that too, but according to Sony's president...
Yeah, he's going to tell the truth.
Right. Cell production is going extremely well. In fact, it's going much better than we had anticipated. Like, you know when you lie and you...
We wanted a yield of 20%, so 25 is perfect for
you
us.
You over-lie.
Yeah.
It's like, that's what it sounds like he's doing.
We weren't expecting any of them to work, so...
they're keeping their Japan and North America launch dates the same, November 11th for Japan and November 17th for North America. But it's like, I doubt it's the PAL things that are... You know what it probably is? They're not getting good yields, so they're just pushing back the rest of the world so they can get
they're focusing
some sort
on
of adequate...
one unit that they can kick out as much as possible.
And are you going to mention the number of systems they're going to have in North America day one?
6 million?
No, 400,000.
I don't know if it's on the sheet there.
It's 400,000, which is half of what they thought it was going
to be. What did the 360 launch at?
I think there was 500,000 in the U.S. May have been less than that.
Oh, okay, so. Launch day. Yeah, all I see is they have promised 6 million units shipped worldwide by the end of this year.
I doubt it.
I think
they've
revised
totally
that down to 2, maybe 4. I don't remember.
This is a story we all could have predicted, us video game nerds.
Yes.
Yeah.
There is never a launch that goes well,
especially Sony, and this is actually their second delay. They delayed the worldwide launch from spring of this year, you know, way a long time ago. Also, not mentioned in this article is that there will be no HDMI cable coming with the PS3 when it launches. The HDMI is, you know, only included in the high-end system.
And what does that cable do for the...
It allows you to use the HD interface that's built into the unit itself.
Okay.
And I'm thinking it's probably a $50 to $100 cable, and it's not going to be included.
Sure.
I'm sure it's not actually... The cost is not actually there. But it's a cable that's maybe less... Maybe like half of 1% that of any... video game user is going to, you know, actually be using.
Be able to use.
But of course, the internet is on fire because
very angry.
All the nerds are very upset that this one cable is not going to be included.
Yeah.
Well, bottom line, this story.
Sony sucks. They're now with this and the battery thing, they're taking a pretty big hit.
And this is a huge opportunity for our friends at Nintendo and our friends at Microsoft.
Everything that I've read is that Nintendo is on pace. They've had their processors since earlier this year, and they're
ready to kick
ready
ass.
Ready to go.
Well, we'll see.
Why do I keep reading, though, that Microsoft is having all these problems and they're having to get these patches out and this and that? And it's a nightmare. I mean, I get the ZDNet news, you know, and all that.
You had to send yours back, right, Shane?
Well, if we're talking about, like, the operating system for the computers, they're always having issues. No question about it. Now, the 360, you know, the video game system, you know, they've kind of kicked up production numbers, so over the year they've been able to satisfy demand, but there have been problems with those units as well, where they think that up to like 20 to 25% of the units will eventually go defective.
Wow.
And mine actually was one of them. I had to send it back a few weeks ago and got a refurbished one, so there you go. I guess as technology grows, so does the capability for failure. And
look at you.
Deep. Very
and
deep.
I think that Sony will also be dealing with that issue with the PlayStation 3 as well, just as Microsoft had to, because that's an extremely fragile and high-powered
machine.
It just
gets more complicated, so more things can fail.
Exactly. So let's move on to the final story.
Last story.
Lighten it up.
This one kind of been rumored for a very long time. iTunes finally getting a movie store. This is in addition to the... You know, you can buy TV shows at the moment.
Yep.
This is just, you know, doing it one further. You're going to be able to buy movies. And did Amazon actually announce this already this week?
It exists
Amazon
now,
launched
it?
Today, I believe.
Okay. I do not have
today,
the
which will
internets.
Be, what, Friday for
Friday
people, because you won't hear this till Monday.
Right. What was that called? The Unbox or something like that?
Yeah. Amazon Unbox.
Okay.
Great and name, by the way.
Everything I've read about it, it's underwhelming. Very restrictive and too expensive.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so just to give everyone understanding, is this all accurate then? Like, they have some movies from Paramount, Sony, Universal, Warner Brothers, MGM?
Pretty much everyone, yes.
Okay.
Except
for Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of Disney's affiliates, subsidiaries.
Yep.
Yeah, so Amazon has a downloadable movie service right now. But, I mean, this is almost exactly the same thing that happened with all the online MP3 stores when... when they first came out. No one was using them. And then next Tuesday, Apple is supposed to launch this new iTunes movie store.
Mm-hmm.
And we assume at some point an iPod that will play them on a bigger screen. The current ones, it's a decent size.
Yeah.
But to watch a 30-minute TV show, I think it's not that big a deal. I don't know about watching a two-hour movie. Well, actually, okay.
Yeah.
I take that back. It's either a 22- or a 44-minute TV show you're watching right now. You're not watching, you know, mm-hmm, than a two-hour movie. It kind of seems a little different. The supposed fake iPods that I've seen where the entire unit is a touchscreen and it turns into, a little movie screen, that I think would be more than adequate.
Well, they're saying there's a big announcement the 12th next week, which
Tuesday.
I'm sure that there'll be new iPods announced that day. Would you agree with that, Jaron?
You know, I have not heard a lot of strong rumors for new iPods.
Well, I'm going on a limb right now saying new iPods announced.
I think
September 12th, you heard it here first.
I think
people.
If you're going to announce a movie download store,
you better have a
you
player.
You should probably have the hardware to go with it, because Apple's all about the whole vertical integration. They want to sell the product. They want to sell you the unit to play it on. Actually, the big rumor I've heard is that there'll be kind of an updated Airport Express
be
able to stream stuff from your computer into your living room, and you can hook it up to your television.
Right. Yep. That's what I'm hearing, too.
I hope we have a new iPod.
This article right here.
Your sources are telling you different things than my sources. So.
Eventually, there will be an iPod, I think, with a bigger screen. I don't know if it will be this Tuesday. I mean, but this has been something that's been rumored about forever, like 2 years at least,
right?
Yeah.
Please, Tony, go ahead.
But did I hear say, at the beginning of that story, that there is also a segment of this that is offering older TV shows?
On Apple's store now, you can. I don't know. I mean,
they
not
do have
older.
Like some 60 shows in there.
Okay.
Actually,
they've been kind of gradually adding new ones.
It's
slow. Do you have to rent them or buy?
You can
them?
Buy them for $2 an episode, and then you can have them on your computer. You can put them on your iPod. There are ways to get it on your television set.
And this is iTunes.
Yep. Yeah, it's kind of confusing. You know, it's iTunes, but yet you can get television shows.
I'm bombarded. I mean, I keep getting emails about 50 free songs and everything. So. Okay.
It's crazy. And it's only going to get crazier. Everything on the internet.
Yes.
Madness.
So there we go. All
right.
Apparently, Apple will only launch with Disney and Disney-related movies. But, I mean, that also includes Miramax
and Lionsgate and Touchstone.
Yeah.
And
so there's a bunch that's actually
anything
a part of
that
Disney.
Is distributed through Buena Vista.
Yeah.
Is.
Yeah.
A lot of the online and regular press has been reporting that it's possible that these movie studios don't really want either Amazon or Apple to be successful. They're not ready to distribute their movies online. They want total control.
Right. Which is exactly what happened with the music studios.
Yep.
Here's what's
going to happen until something works itself out in the future. HD DVD will fail. Blu-ray will fail. Downloads will fail. There isn't enough high-definition televisions out there for any of the HD formats to succeed at this point. And they're way too restrictive on digital downloads. I mean, they won't even let you burn a DVD that you can put in your player, for crying out loud.
Yep. And there's no, I mean, there's no real big upgrade from DVD.
No.
I mean, like for the normal use, for me, DVD's just fine. So it's like,
exactly.
There's no need.
It's just like, it's like with CDs, we've hit the peak of CDs. I mean, you get the ultra convenience of buying a song for 99 cents, and that's why that's working. If you could buy a movie for $5, I think that would work.
Right. I think you're right.
But not
for
10, 15, no way.
No, you buy the package then you have it. So there you go.
So opinionated.
I know. Wrapping up the news, thank you very much, Adam. Let's move on to the reviews for today, shall we?
Tony has nothing to say here.
We'll do it after the music. How about that?
Where's my...
And all the regulars know that we have a special scope scoring scale for all of our reviews. And as a part of my privilege and honor, I'd like to announce Tony announcing the scope scoring system. So, Tony, please.
My pleasure. The scope scoring system is a rating scale ranging from 0 stars to a perfect score of 4 stars. Using a complex mathematical system composed of square roots, logarithms, trigonometry, Jared, Adam, and Shane assign a scope score to every movie, compact disc, or television show reviewed on the program. Now that we're all squared up, on to the reviews.
Thank you, Tony. Adam?
Yes.
That's your cue.
Well, our only review this week is for the new Fox reality show, or as some would call it, Trainwreck, Celebrity Duets. Eight celebrities not famous for singing. Well, kind of. I do want to say something about that. Are each paired with a recording superstar, including Clint Black, superstar, Michael
superstar.
Bolton, and Dionne Warwick. How do you pronounce her first name?
Dionne.
I want phonetic things on my script, people. In the
I
hopes,
just call her D.
Okay.
Or he won't be back next week.
No. In hopes
ouch.
Of their...
you're out.
Of making beautiful music together. The show, hosted by really, we're going to call him this? Improv guru Wayne Brady follows the celebrities as they are mentored by their
this is supposed to be an unbiased read, brother.
Partners. Well, it's not. It's me reading it, so you know that's not going to happen. they choose songs and perform popular duets in front of a panel of judges, a studio audience, and television viewers. I have a question.
Go ahead.
Are there really that many like popular duets in the universe of popular songs?
No, they're just singing regular songs and making
turning
duets.
Them into
duets. So which makes it even worse.
Okay.
Or better.
Let's listen to Warrior Princess Lucy Lawless, who, by the way, is much prettier than that show gave her credit for. She's a very pretty lady. And her...
Adam, hitting on Lucy Lawless.
Opinions on every word. I love it.
Her recording superstar partner, Michael Bolton, belt out the little hit... belt out a little of the hit, Time, Love, and Tenderness.
When love puts you through the fire.
No, I wasn't.
Nothing cures a broken heart like time, love, and tenderness.
Oh, wait.
Mr. Michael Bolton.
He's crying. He loves it so much.
The mood. So you say that you can't go on. Love left you crying. And you say all your hope is gone. And what's the use in trying?
What you need is to have faith. Shake off the sad blues. Get your
Adam.
Magic. That's sorry. What that is.
There's pacing to this.
I was almost dead. Hey, did you know, by the way, I'm going off script. Michael Bolton.
Really? that's the first time. This is a novel.
Michael
approach.
Bolton actually wrote the only Kiss, I think, gold or platinum song.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thought, well, maybe the audience didn't know that. Audience, there you go.
And Gene Simmons tried to kill him so he could get all residuals. But...
No, he loved him for getting money for it.
Oh, that's right.
Did he love him?
Yes. Part of the charm of celebrity duets is the quote-unquote expert panel of judges and their critique of the performers. Marie Osmond, producer David Foster, and rock and roll legend Little Richard, my favorite Little
Woo!
Richard part.
There he is. He's in studio.
Is,
shut up.
Rock and roll Mother Goose or Mother Goose Rock and Roll, whatever that was called. Best Little Richard thing ever. Team up to dispense essential bits of advice. The next clip. Pay close attention to the montage of Little Richard's words of wisdom.
I heard the grapevine. I heard it too. Wait, boy. Here I am, baby. Sign, sitter. I'm yours. I think she was talking about how you jumped up and the beat was going one way and you was on another beat.
Let me.
It was all right. Grapevine, keep it up. I said, my, digging up bones. I hope you get them out of there.
Yeah.
I'm get the bone.
He's a good guy.
He's
get
a good
the bones.
Guy.
Celebrity Duets airs every Thursday at 7 p.m. on your local Fox affiliate. Jared, since this was kind of a negative copy I had to read, what did you think of this?
I'm having a good time watching the show. I don't know if I'm going to continue watching it all season, but the two times I've seen it so far, I've thoroughly enjoyed it for all of the wrong reasons. It's fun watching people who can't sing try to sing, and it's you just sit there and cringe, and I laugh, and Little Richard's exciting. So I'm enjoying the show. Shane?
Well, I'm enjoying it for all the wrong reasons. I don't know what that means, but I'm just going to say...
Or are you enjoying it?
That it is an utter train wreck, and it's fascinating to watch, but it is what it is, and that is a big steaming pile of crap. Little Richard freaks me out. Marie Osmond's big and puffy. David Foster looks like he's do anything to get any sort of media attention. And none of those people can sing. That's the thing. And these judges are never mean to these guys. It's very rare when they actually say, why are you here? You know, I think it's contractual.
They're pseudo-celebrities. They wouldn't go on there if they were going to get yelled at or whatever.
So, they just don't say anything.
Yeah, they just say, hey, you look great.
Yeah.
And they don't even look that
great. I
like
your energy.
Yeah, I love your energy. So
it's a Citra Kinney approach to
it. Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I think you have to have your own commentary when you're watching it. Because
oh, yeah.
Because you're not going to get it from them. So,
well, I have one comment.
Go ahead.
While I know he's not the singer, I believe he's not, Hal Sparks actually has his own rock band.
He does.
So
he's my favorite part of the show.
Is he not taking it too seriously?
Like, no, he takes it very seriously.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It really is sort of
strange. Does, but he still seems like he's having fun.
Okay. Yep. So, yeah, he...
Jess made a good joke. Like, the next one of these is going to be, like, celebrity actors. And it's going to be actors trying to act.
Very high concept.
Yes.
We'll have to, like, perform a scene with a accomplished Shakespearean actor.
Exactly. Well, you know, we're going to go on a limb right now. We're going to do something we've never done in the scope, and that is give this show 2 scores, because our opinions are so divergent and we're coming from completely different directions that I think it would be only fitting. So, without further ado, let's give my score first. Tony, let's do it live. Get ready.
Wait.
Oh, get your paper out.
All right. The scope score is 1.5 star.
So you know where I stand, but Jared has a slightly different opinion.
I certainly do, and this is it.
The scope score is 3 stars.
I think it's interesting. I mean, I think we're kind of the same as far as our opinions of the show.
And we have watched together,
right?
You know, holding hands.
And I think we enjoyed it. Yes, and it was a lovely time.
Gently.
We enjoyed it.
Gently.
We cringe at it.
Yep.
However, I consider that a positive thing, and you consider that a negative thing.
I enjoy just hanging out and watching it. How about that?
Okay.
So there we go. You know, there's 3 parts of the Under the Scope bit, Tony. There's news, there's reviews, and there's also Adam's big, this is where he really shows off his stuff, the Coming Soon segment.
Here's the thing, and I'm going to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
First of all, you're going to piss off Al if we don't play this one segment.
Oh, I totally
and
forgot about that.
You're
going to
piss
that.
Me off because I spent 45 minutes working on it last night.
So there.
And you're going to piss me off if I can't ask about 2 very, very, very poignant stories in the news this week that I think it's important that our listeners hear your input on.
Okay. Well, we'll do that at the end of the show. How about that?
That's fine. Whenever.
Okay. Let's just keep this train rolling because I'm screwing it up as it is. So, Jared, please... Let's play a clip of something. I forget. Well, it's Al's bit, right? So
yeah, it's Al's
are
bit.
Are we buying something for a dollar?
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, buy it for a dollar. That's right.
Are you in the meetings at all?
He was at the AA
I'm feigning
one.
Stupidity. How about that?
All right, here we go.
Hit it.
Are these songs worth the loose change in your pocket? Al stops by to find out if I'd buy that for a dollar.
What's up, Scope fans? Welcome to this week's installment of I'd Buy That for a Dollar. My name is Al, and I'll be here to dish out 3 tracks for your musical enjoyment. Our first track comes from the London, England up-and-comers of The Capes. The featured track titled Carly, Goddess of Death comes from The Capes' 2006 debut album, Hello. Their bouncy rock songs are drawing a lot of comparisons to the UK pop rock predecessors, Blur. They have been tagged with a lot of Beach Boy comparisons. However, in my opinion, Carly Goddess of Death reeks of one of my favorite Brit rock bands, The Jam. Now that I see your life laid out across my eyes, it's all within me. And now you can see your life playing out across my eyes, it's all within me. Our second pick of the week comes from the Northwest indie hip-hop scene. This track titled The Sound comes from Omega Watts, one-third of Portland, Oregon's trio Lightheaded. That sound comes off Omega Watts' self-produced 2005 LP, The Find. This track features the other 2 members of Lightheaded, along with the Procussions and Noel. Omega Watts will be performing at this year's Lollapalooza along with other hip-hop artists Blackalicious, Common, and Kanye West. When styles get old and the music sounds dated, we write with love and God's appreciation. My business is this just to get down. Down. Da-da-da-da, bounce around without a doubt. Down. Heard of your fence, hop over your ditch and style. Down. Brother, man, it's classic with your feminine in the sound. When re-release, make city boys shout. Down. Country bumpers bumping to move something out. Down. With the method of the percussion, a light-headed direction. Break beat, blessing any session with lasting impression. Yo,
I'm at war with the composition written to nullify a moment of truth serenaded by God, brother, by the final moon.
If you're a fan of the OC and Sad Bastard music, you may enjoy this third selection from Death Cab for Cutie. Ben Gibbard takes a stab at the Smiths' classic, This Charming Man. This was originally released as a cassette-only offering from Ben Gibbard when he was recording as a solo artist under the name Death Cab for Cutie in 1997. As we all know, Gibbard has brought some mates aboard to Death Cab, and they have become poster boys for everything emo and OC.
I'm just a country boy. I would go out tonight, but I haven't got
a... We've just finished hearing tracks from The Capes, Omega Watts, and Death Cab for Cutie. So let's swing it back to Jared, Adam, and Shane and find out what track they'd buy for a dollar.
You heard the man, Jared. What track would you buy for a $1 bill?
It's kind of a tough one. I'm not blown away by any of them.
So you're saying Al did a terrible job of picking songs this week?
I think Al is, he picked them like 2 months ago. So anyway, we'll get into that in the D block. I don't know. I mean, they're all okay. I think if I had to pick one, I'd take The Capes, just because it tends to fall into more, that would be the first song, more in line with the kind of music that I like.
All
and
right.
then the Death Cab for Cutie song is interesting, but I mean, it doesn't sound anything like Death Cab for Cutie, which I guess that is okay.
All right.
I don't know. Number one.
Number one. Adam?
Amazing. I actually agree with Jared.
And that never happens.
Right. As I was listening, I was rating them all, and I gave them all 3 out of 5. Which is just my scale.
A Scope score or an Adam?
No, like okay. My iTunes score.
Oh, okay.
I only do 1 threes and 5s, but I gave it a 3. Because, yeah, I mean, they're all good, just not like blowing me out of the water. As soon as I started hearing the Cape song, it sounded like the Jam, and I was like, are we really listening to the Jam? And then it wasn't the Jam, so I don't really like them, but it was okay. The Omega Watt song sounded a lot like Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard them for a long time, so I kind of like that just for that. And the Death Cab song didn't really sound that different from the original. So it's like, I hate it when there's covers that don't have their own sound.
Do something mm-hmm. with
and
it.
And I mean, like, as much as I like Death Cab songs, it's getting to the point where I'm so tired of them. I need them to be like really, really, really good for me to actually like them now. Otherwise, I'm just kind of like, it's another good Death Cab song. So I'm going to pick the Omega Watts song.
All right. Tony, what do you think? You're a man of culture, operatic training. There's got to be something that strikes you.
The first one.
The first Capes. One. There we go. The Capes.
Yep. Hands down.
The expert needs to say nothing more. I'm going to go with Omega Watts. Me being the hugest fan of hip-hop in the studio and a huge background in that. I go out in the streets and I lay down a nice, nasty rhyme.
I've seen you at the battles on yep. Friday and Saturday nights, and you're not afraid to throw
it. I love the hip-hop, and I'm hip-hopping right over to the Omega Watts. That's my selection.
You know, all the emo kids are unsubscribing now that we did not pick, that no one picked Death Cab.
The plan worked.
Good.
Perfection.
Goodbye, faux emo indie kids.
Exactly.
We can pick up some screamo fans on it.
That's right. So thank you, Al, for putting together that fantastic bit, and thank you, Jared, for producing it.
Thanks.
I apologize to everyone for forgetting it. And Al, I'm going to say this, even though you don't believe it, I look forward to your next segment of I'd Buy That for a Dollar on this.
I liked it a lot because I didn't hear them this time. I liked hearing them new.
Okay. Well, we'll do that next time.
Good.
And I think does that wrap up the review section, Jared? Can we move on?
I would say it's officially closed.
All right, it's closed. Adam, we've got the third part of the Under the Scope trilogy.
Yay.
This would be the coming soon.
Okay.
You're going to have to make it snappy, I think we're over our time limit.
I'm going to roll through this.
Roll it.
After the song ends. Okay.
I'm trying to get it in there somewhere.
If you can do it in -1 minute, we're in good shape.
We're good for time.
September 12th, this coming Tuesday, we got a bunch of new albums coming out. Bare Naked Ladies.
Yes.
So there's that.
They have like four different versions.
Or Tony the Teenage Years, as I like to call
it. What was that, Jared? They have four different versions?
I don't, I've been listening to their podcast, and I haven't been able to keep track of it. There's a couple different ones depending on where you order it.
Oh, strange.
I don't know.
Just like extra tracks?
Yeah. Okay. It's kind of too confusing.
Like, you're not going to accidentally get the acoustic version, right?
I think you'll get the acoustic version if you in addition to the normal material, okay, if you buy the right version.
Basement Jacks? What's this?
Kind of an alternative dance type of band.
Okay. So
you've heard them. They've done television commercials, things like
that. I'll probably listen to it.
I like Basement Jacks.
Be disappointed.
Of course, you will.
It sounds good. DJ Shadow, yep.
wow.
Everclear, or as they're also known, Every Song in Our Library sounds exactly the same. They have a new album, it's really just what's his name, Alex.
Yeah,
Alexis, Alex, whatever his name.
Whatever.
Is.
Lead singer,
right? Because the
fake
other guys
blonde hair
are not in the band anymore now. I think,
oh, really?
And like he got another divorce, and I think he went through rehab again. So.
And he said, hey, our song's in a car commercial. Maybe we should do a new album.
Yeah, let's do it.
The Mars Volta, so that's always good when they have a new album coming out. Justin Timberlake, is this a double album? Future Sex, Love Sounds?
Destroying popular music.
Wow.
And
Fergie.
The awesomely named yet terrible band TV on the Radio has returned to Cookie Mountain. I'm not a fan of them, but I like the...
No.
I couldn't tell.
They're kind of one of those MySpace generation bands.
Yes, that's exactly what
I just don't like them.
The following Tuesday, September 19th, Chingy. Sweet. Fergie has a terrible album coming out. It's getting awful.
It's 2 weeks out, and he knows.
I finally heard the London Bridge song this morning.
Isn't that awful?
Absolutely terrible.
I know.
It's destroying. I don't know how we're raising children who are going to be able to appreciate music, because that's the kind of dreck they're listening to. It's horrible.
They're all going to be whores, so it won't matter.
To give musical... perspective, the wife loves that song, London Bridge by Fergie.
Well, good for her.
It's a shame.
You can yell at her, Jared.
I will, maybe. Okay. Well, I think we've already had this discussion.
Oh, we have.
The Indigo Girls have a new album. Last year, Jess and I had the idea to go for Halloween as them, and I just wouldn't shave.
Adam,
and I could be one of them.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Does the I in Indigo stand for irrelevant?
Yes.
All right.
I thought it was a bad... By the way, we did not use that because I don't think... probably
because
they're kind of irrelevant. Because I was like, I don't even really... Like, I know who the Indigo Girls are.
Sure.
But it wasn't funny enough to me because it's like, I don't really know what they look like. It's like, I get that they're lesbians, and if I didn't shave, it's, you know...
No, you couldn't go because you're too girly looking.
Oh.
You couldn't dress
it's going to be like that.
Mm-hmm. It was more a rip on them than you.
Another indie pop, semi-emo kind of electronica band, Kasabian, has a new album coming out.
Ugh,
never heard of them.
I got the first album, and I was like, this is all right. And then I think a day later, I never listened to it again.
Would you bother stealing it?
No, I wouldn't even. I would not take a Class D misdemeanor to listen to that.
There you go.
And Exhibit has a new album coming out.
X. I call him X.
Exhibit. Mm-hmm. Sorry. In movies, next Friday, The Black Dahlia. That's the Brian De Palma movie about the... he did possibly turn out to be a serial killer, right? They think there's like 100 maybe murders attributed to him.
Yeah.
But this is about the one specific...
in the 40s?
Unsolved.
Was it?
Yeah, mystery.
Or was it later than that?
Yeah, I think it was the 40s.
Might have been earlier, actually.
Unsolved murder in Hollywood.
I would say a very good likelihood that was covered on an episode of Unsolved Mysteries.
So everyone knows, this is also based on another James Ellroy novel, much like L.A. Confidential.
Keep this running through the entire
same series.
No.
Also on the 15th, Gridiron Gang from Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Mm-hmm. Yes, the real name, Dwayne Johnson. You know, at some point he should stop having The Rock as his credit, I think.
He tried to do that, but...
The WWF wouldn't let him?
No, it just doesn't work because people don't know who he is.
No, L.O. Cool J tried to do the same thing, I think. He tried to go under his regular name and... Didn't work. Nobody knew who he was.
I wonder what... James something.
Winston Spivey is his
James
real name.
James Todd. No.
Okay.
No.
And it's a true life story, kind of, about probation officer Sean Porter, who... whatever.
Exhibits in that movie, by the way.
Great.
Tying into his new album.
And what The Last Kiss, which is from Zach Braff. He's directing it, right? And starring in it?
I don't even know if he's directing it. Oh,
okay.
He?
Well, it seems to follow along... Garden State's quarter life crisis kind of theme, so I assumed it was. It's similar to Garden State.
I hope it's better than Garden State.
See, I liked Garden State the first time I saw it, and then I think the second time too, but now that it's become like the emo kids anthem movie, I don't like it anymore.
They've
never
stolen
saw it
from you.
I think it's worth seeing at least once. It's got a good soundtrack.
All right.
Yeah,
that's true.
Following Friday, September 22nd, All the King's Men. Which is the second movie adaptation of the classic movie about corruption of Southern politics. Sean My Penn, Jude Law, yeah. and Kate Winslet star.
Good cast.
Jackass 2.
There we go.
Look, okay, I've never saw the first. I never saw the TV show. I have the first on somewhere packed away in one of my boxes from Netflix, so I will try to watch that this weekend and maybe get out and see the movie.
You'll be laughing immediately.
Let me ask you this. Do I have to see the first to understand the
Probably.
second?
Probably.
Too complicated.
Okay.
Tony, do you have a favorite Jackass member? Anyone in that? You thinking?
No, I really embrace them all. I can identify with just about every one of them.
Tony seems like a wee man guy.
Do you think there's something to be said for attaching electrodes to your privates? I mean, let's really get down to it.
Well, then we get into the debate, of course, centuries ago between Thomas Alva Edison and what Mr. Westinghouse.
It goes all the way back, doesn't it?
How does Nikola Tesla factor
into that? I thought Tesla was going to somehow get involved in this.
Very smart. This is the intellectual moment.
He introduced shaving to the electrodes and the nuts.
I would say both the guys from Wild Boys are my favorites, if I were asked.
Have you ever seen an episode of Jackass, Tony? Do you know what we're talking about?
I have the...
You're living it right now. This is, you know, episode 12 of Jackass.
Yes.
It's the guy, you know, the guys where they hit each other over the head with mallets and
ride shopping carts down steps.
Yes. Yep.
I hit myself in the eye with my headphones just now. Does that count?
That is a Jackass moment. All right.
I was out shopping earlier. I think I saw some of them.
Yeah, they're out there.
And finally, that week, Jet Li's Fearless, which is actually called Jet Li's Fearless.
Yep.
But not Jet Li, not implying Jet Li himself is fearless.
Right.
His movie. And he's in the title.
Very similar to Artie Lang's Beer League.
Right.
Coming out soon, the 15th, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's a limited release, so I did not make our list.
You just now don't assume that we don't have a nationwide presence? Come on, Shane.
I know.
Did you know, by the way, Mike Judge had a movie come out, Idiocracy, came out last Friday in 7 cities.
Yeah,
and it got no press whatsoever, no marketing. And so apparently Fox is just trying to kill it.
They are trying to
kill it. It's getting kind of... I think if everyone that liked Office Space seems to be in love with Mike Judge, so they love the movie. Although the couple critic reviews I read just hated it because it seems to be like kind of mean-spirited towards the audience. I still want to see it. I'm kind of annoyed that Fox is doing this.
Look for it on DVD because that's when you're going to see it.
I'm going to download it from Amazon's Unbox.
All right. Way to go.
Good luck. Finally, DVD. Well, I guess not finally. We have TV also. Finally.
Holy cow.
DVD September 12th is coming Tuesday.
Just burn through it as fast as you can.
The lucky number is 11. That's 11, not 11 or 7. I kind of want to see it. It looks kind of cool and hip. All right.
Yeah. Jared will judge.
The Office Season 2. Stella Season 1. No, that's the wrong one. Anyone that's a fan of The State or any movie with Michael Ian Black, Michael Showalter,
or
David
Stupid
Wayne.
Things. Oh. Just kidding.
I love that this one's on here. My Little Pony, The Runaway Rainbow.
That's for you.
Isn't that the sequel to We Gotta Get Out of the Wheat Fields, Mabel? We're going against the grain.
Yes. I don't get the reference.
Stella! What are we going?
Oh, Stella.
I don't know. I just yelled that for no reason.
and finally, we talked about it on the show. We predicted it. Someone here did. The release of the original Star Wars trilogy with the original cuts of the movies. Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
Who cares anymore?
Following Tuesday, September 19th, Battlestar Galactica Season 2.5. Jerks. Why do they do that?
To get more money.
Stay Alive? I don't know what that is.
It's a horror movie.
Can we get more of those? Is it presented by Quentin Tarantino like every other one is?
I don't think so.
He-Man Season 2 Part 2.
That's for Earl.
Gilmore Girls Season 6.
That's for Carrie.
Finally on to TV. Oh, really? Sunday? I got to get my cable hooked up. The Simpsons, Family Guy, and American Dad premiere Sunday, September 10th. Men in Trees, Tuesday the 12th.
We talked about that.
Right.
Yeah.
And did you hear about the reviews your show that you picked is getting? It's getting great. The Knights of Prosperity.
Doesn't matter.
Great shows.
Last show, Tony.
Finally.
We had a bet to see who could pick the show that would be canceled first for the fall television season.
Well,
hasn't started yet, but Adam picked a show that is not on television.
and
Jared picked a show that's getting critically acclaimed reviews.
That's okay. Good reviews does not always mean success.
That's very true. I picked a show that's already on right now, and I'm hoping it'll be canceled.
I think you
soon.
Actually have the best chance now.
Yeah. So there we go.
And finally, Survivor, which is noted here with a racism alert.
Did you hear, Tony? They're separating the Survivor tribes by race.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them.
Mm-hmm. I wish they'd put the Swedes together. But they won't do that.
Not a race. That's a nationality.
Well,
sorry.
I get those things confused. So thank you very much, Adam.
You're quite welcome.
He's talking in and out of the mic. It's great. So, Tony, that was Under the Scope. Were you impressed?
Live.
Speechless.
Speechless. And with that, Jared?
Under the Scope.
Bring this thing to a point,
oh,
Jared.
Oh, boy. Here we go. We got some comments. This is where we do get into the listener mail. People
listener
like to
mail.
Send us comments, and we're going to get into a couple. First off, we'll go with Nikki. She says, how can you have someone on the show who has never been to the State Fair? Well, as we learned today, Adam has been to the State Fair now. And I think the main reason he hasn't been to the State Fair to this point is because he hasn't been born and raised in this state. Isn't that correct, Adam?
That's correct. Also, I went with someone that has been born and raised that had never been to the State Fair before either. And,
see,
yeah.
I don't find this so shocking because I don't actually enjoy the fair that much. So.
Right.
What do you know?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like something I would do except for the weird novelty. Like, after I go, if I go one more time next year, I don't know that I'd ever go again.
Yeah. Every few years, maybe you need to brush up.
The Flaming Lips played the first night, so I kind of regret not getting to see that.
I would have gone to Poison myself.
Okay. Me too.
Al wrote a novel, practically, and we're just going to go through it because he has...
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yes. Al, a fan of the show, participant in the show, and a fan of Mark.
Had
here we go.
Had something to say.
Al says, this is for all of the naysayers of late. The summer sucks. Get over it. For a show that uses entertainment as its vehicle approximately 83% of the time, these guys hold their own during their not-so-exciting month of August.
Ouch.
Have the last two shows been all-world? No, and they may be the two weakest shows yet. But never fear. We should have faith in our three friends who speak to us through our little white handheld machines. They will come back with something fantastic soon, I bet. Without resorting to gimmicks like adding another sibling to the show, or adding Heather Locklear, or someone from the Drew Carey Show to the cast, or maybe having their announcer Tony Partington in.
Oh, I would add Heather Locklear to the show.
So I didn't read it right.
No, I just like to say it, though.
They will use the same semi-quick wit that's off by tenths of a second that they always use.
I don't know if Al is solidifying his place on the show with letters like that.
He is on my show that I'm going to have after I quit
the new
this
Adam
one.
Show.
He goes on to say, just remember that the show isn't always about the listener. Some of you love to hear the sci-fi convention bits. Some of you want more reviews. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Some want to know more about Shane's personal life.
The show's about
so you
me.
Can stalk him. And some of us want to hear pre-recorded, I'd buy that for a dollar bits, that have been recorded for over a month and a half.
Wow, what a baby.
The point I'm trying to make is that Jared, Adam, and Shane, and sometimes Earl's show...
No.
And they can take it off the net whenever they want. So it'd be nice to them, and we have to find a way to kill 80 to 90 minutes of our boring lives, and I don't want to start watching an episode of Veronica Mars. Why, it's a good show. And
wow.
How I Met Your Mother to do that.
Al making everyone angry in this letter. Congratulations, Mr. Al.
I'd rather waste 5 minutes listening to them talk about it and then get on to the crap that I want to hear. So Adam laying a smackdown on us. I think he's hurt a little bit.
What? You mean Al?
Al. He's
Al. Well,
he said
whatever.
Adam.
They're all easy.
I don't know what to make of that.
It's really me just writing under Al's name.
It's very sad.
My sources say that Al's medication was slightly off last week.
I liked his honesty.
Yeah.
And I think he should be on the show from now on instead of Earl.
Okay.
That's a possible lineup change there.
Let's make sure Earl is on every show.
Well, Jess has a response to Al. He says, Al can bite me. At least if they added Heather Locklear, there'd be an occasional Melrose Place reference.
Never seen the show, Jess. I've never seen it.
No. Well, you're not missing anything.
Well, that counts as this episode's Melrose reference.
There you go, Jess.
So,
soak it up, baby.
If you're out there in radio land, TV land, whatever you want to call it, and you have something you want to say, how do you get a hold of us? This is how you do it.
Do it.
You send us a comment at comments@thescopeshow.com, or you head to the website, www.thescopeshow.com. And I should mention that we still haven't gotten any responses from our 150 words or less why you are the Scope Show's number one fan.
We actually have. I haven't sent them to
what?
You.
What? So, in a completely spontaneous moment,
have we gotten
what are
more
you talking
than one?
About?
Have we gotten more than one?
Well, I know that Mike, my friend from my guild, sent two.
Wow.
So,
he's lobbing you in.
So he wants in.
We may have gotten one more from Scott. Hmm. Who's the one? I don't know.
I keep hearing rumors of other folks that say, oh, so-and-so is going to send something in, and nary a word. So we'll give it one more passage here, and maybe by the next show we'll pick a winner.
Yeah.
Then they'll get a beautiful prize that we haven't determined yet.
A house call by Tony Partington.
There you go.
Delivering Carrie Scope t-shirt.
We've also added a audio comments functionality to the website through a service called MyChingo. Basically, you can go there, you can say, leave a message. It fires up a little Java applet, and if you have a microphone connected to your computer, you can record a little voice message for us.
What's it called again? The service?
My Chingo.
Sounds racist.
Very strange name, but who knows? Give it a try. Maybe you can get played back here on The Scope. So there you go. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can subscribe to us in whatever other podcatcher you want. And I also have to mention that this week's Scope Sounds is from Monk from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Shane, I'm parched. I'm out of words. I throw it back to you.
Thank you very much.
I got something.
Let's go. Adam?
All right, can I start, do my football thing now?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Oh, yes, go ahead. Go ahead, do your football thing.
So this coming Monday, the my Redskins are going to be taking on your Vikings. I know you guys are diehard, lifelong fans. I grew up in D.C., so
your
I am.
Redskins.
I'm actually an adopted member of the Wilf family, owners of the Vikings.
Wow. So you're actually one of my tribemen, no? Okay. Tribemen? Tribemen? Yeah. Tribe? Whatever. Because he's Jewish. That was the implication.
We get it. We get it.
I wanted to see if you guys wanted to go in on a bet. $10 or lunch. Shane, that can go for you. Jared, if you want to come to downtown and for lunch, that's fine if you want to do that. But that the Redskins.
It's a bit of a commute.
Yeah, I know. not doing points or anything, spread, nothing like that. Just straight up win, lose. So I'm picking the Redskins, and if you guys want to go in on that bet, now would be the time.
Are you going in on that bet, Jared?
I'll pick the Redskins as well.
What? You can't
do
that.
No. Oh, I'm picking the Redskins.
I picked the Redskins. No, I picked the Vikings to win in our office pool, so I'm
going
to take it.
Okay. Sure, I'll go in on you on that. I guess I'm not going against you then, Shane. Because
I'm not going to bet on this game because I just don't have any good feelings about it. I really don't.
Okay.
I have to see something happen. Tony agrees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I will.
Okay. So there you go. The gauntlet has been thrown.
Great.
Tony, we're going to let you get one last crack at doing some announcing for this show. Could you please tell us what's coming up on the next episode of The Scope and do it with feeling and flavor and just jazz it up.
Flavor?
Flavor with an A. H.
Flavor. Okay.
H. Okay, he's pulling himself up.
All right.
Straightening his papers. Hit it.
On the next episode of The Scope. Coming up on the next episode of The Scope. Who the hell are we kidding? These guys don't think that far in advance. They're lucky just to figure out what's going on for the current show. I can tell you one thing. Tony Partington won't be here in 2 weeks. Not because I wouldn't accept the invite, but because the Scope hosts like to keep the most interesting guests off the show for as long as possible. So you can expect me, Tony Partington, back on the show sometime in 2008. Back to you, Shane.
Thank you, Tony. Feeling a little hurt, but that's the way it goes here at The Scope. No feelings are spared.
You wrote it.
Oh, what are you talking about? That's completely improv.
Yeah.
I want to thank everyone involved with the show. We're not going to do appearances or anything like that because we don't really have anything planned, let's be real. Let's be honest.
Nothing.
So let's thank Jared for pushing buttons. Let's thank Adam for being sarcastic and mean and tired.
Yes.
Let's send a big thanks out to Tony for stopping in. Tony, you're invited back anytime. We've got many ideas planned for you. We've got a singing competition possibly coming up in the Scope.
A bass guitar playing contest.
Bass guitar. Yeah. I mean, we've got things planned, and you just might be involved with that.
We've actually got like a horticulture.
A horticulture.
We'll be planting for a competition.
Yes. So thank you very much for being here. It was fantastic.
My pleasure.
The open invite. So yes, this has been episode 12 of The Scope. I am Shane, and I'm happy to say the show is over. See you next time.
If you're going to be in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area and would like to participate in a taping of The Scope, send your request to tickets@thescopeshow.com. Please mention in what special way you can contribute to the show.